Football season is never over. The Ringer NFL show has got all your football needs covered from free agency to the draft and so much more. Check out the Ringer NFL show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerMBA. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerMBA right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, and welcome to the Ringer NBA show. It is The Answer. My name is Chris Ryan. I'm your host. And this week, the Hawks? Exclamation point, question mark. That's the question. What's up with the Hawks? They just rattle off seven in a row. Not against exactly the Justice League, but they beat some teams. Handily handled the Thunder last night. We're recording this on Friday morning. So last night, they beat the Thunder by double digits. They look competent under Nate McMillan. They seem to be playing with a lot more chemistry and harmony than they were under Lori Pierce. They're getting some guys back from injury, like Bogey Bogdanovich, who seems to be playing at like his sort of like his real like Sacramento heights right now. So you're seeing like exactly why Travis Schlenk, the GM and the Hawks, went after Bogey to come in and energize that offense. And he's doing some really interesting things with the second unit. But the reason why I wanted to talk about them is that it's really easy to give up on teams in the league. You know, I think it's really easy to see a team kind of start to nosedive, put them in the do not remind me to watch this team on the league pass. The anti-league pass rankings. You might check in on Trae Young a little bit, but like there's really no reason to. And then because these teams are so bunched together this year, because you've got so many teams like in and around a couple of games under 500 or right around 500, if you do something like what the Hawks just did, which is rattle off seven in a row, all of a sudden you're in fifth place in the Eastern Conference. That's all it takes. And I was really fascinated by this transformation because it's a transformation that happened pretty subtly with Nate McMillan coming in to replace Lloyd Pierce. I wanted to talk to my buddy Rembert Brown, who is a native of Atlanta and a Hawks fan, about how it feels to be cheering for this up and down team this season. And then I wanted to talk to Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer a little bit about what Nate McMillan has done here and what Travis Schlenk, the GM, is kind of building towards, because I think what his plan for the team is kind of unique among a lot of teams. You're seeing a guy who drafted Trae Young in the year of the Luka Doncic draft, which will probably be debated for the next 10 years. And then subsequently, he's been drafting almost for fit. And he's been drafting for role players. He's not always drafting for maximum upside dude, no matter what we already have on the roster. It seems like he's putting together a team on the fly out of the draft, which is not something you see all the time. So I want to talk to Kevin, especially since we have the draft guide coming up. The draft guide is up on The Ringer right now. I wanted to see what Kev thought about what Travis Schlenk has been doing. So let's get into the answer and figure out what's going on with the Hawks. I wanted to talk about the Hawks. There's only one person I wanted to talk about them with. It's Rembert Brown. What's up, man?
My guy, it's so good to see you, to talk to you, to talk about my favorite thing to talk about when things are going just immediately well. It's like, let me talk hyperbolically about the Hawks immediately.
Nothing that makes you happier than a streaking Hawks.
You showed up in my phone, a streaking Hawk, and boom, now we're talking about the Hawks. I can't wait.
So you were saying, when was the last time you talked about the Hawks in any kind of professional capacity?
So it was really funny. I was doing some promotion for the podcast I was doing over the holidays about the Georgia Flipping Blue gaining ground. And I was like, I just want to talk to everyone in Atlanta about this and talked about the Hawks on January 1st when they were 4-1 and the group text. I have a group text literally of like, it's nine of us. It's called 500 or better, which is just what we want for the Hawks. And yeah, I was saying some wild stuff. I said, you know, Lloyd Pierce is a molder of men, and that he was going to take this team to the promised land. I was like, I was just saying everything that I typically say when an Atlanta sports team is doing well, which is like, this is the year. And then immediately it fell off the rails.
Yeah, immediately you started getting injuries. Immediately, or soon after that, there were started to become athletic tell-alls about dissension within the locker room. Trae Young, John Collins not getting along. Dude's just getting hurt for extended periods of time. Lloyd loses his job. Nate McMillan comes in. And granted, against a pretty light schedule, the Hawks, a.k.a. the Nate Hawks, which I saw them referred to on Peachtree Hoops, which I'm 100% approval rating of that.
Love the Nate Hawks.
They go on this. Nates. They go on this 7-game winning streak, and they're about to walk right into a buzzsaw with an LA trip, which and then also Golden State, Denver, Phoenix. So I'm not even sure what we're going to be. If we did this podcast in 2 weeks, I don't know how you would be feeling.
But we would never do this podcast in 2 weeks. So we have to do it when things are just so incredible. We have to talk about it right then at the.
So you watched the Hawks, they beat the Thunder last night, a usually very competitive Thunder team that they completely handled them. What did you see last night? What did you like that you saw when you were watching the Hawks?
So there is a version of the Hawks that I love, which is one that I genuinely feel like even when they get down, they believe that the game's not over. And I see it a lot on, I feel like offense, they're always just excited to be playing basketball. But also defense, it's like, hey.
Defense,
like
they're excited to be playing offense.
Yeah, there's like, oh, like we could actually get a stop and play more offense instead of like, oh, this is when they come score on us. And now we have to go score again or we're going to go down again. So that's what I've seen progressively in the, to quote the Atlanta Hawks Twitter handle, the HAWWWWWWKS, because they love to track our wins. But yeah, 7-game, like, what's that about? It's weird. I love it.
With a conference that's so bunched up like that, though, if you put together 7 wins, you are in 5th place, like the Hawks. They get out from under this play-in stuff. Now, granted, they could go out and lose, you know, 5 of their next 7 and be back where they started with this, but I think one thing that I've seen with McMillan so far is he knows how to stop the bleeding when it happens. Like he can just kind of like take care of problems on the fly in a way that maybe Pierce wasn't doing. I don't know if that's a fair assessment though.
Yeah, I also, it seems like, well, the thing about Nate, it's funny. It's like, he really didn't seem like he wanted the job.
Yes.
He was like, y'all, like, I really don't have to do this. Like Lloyd was kind of my dude. I'm not even looking to be a head coach really right now. So he doesn't seem like that proud in like what his system is. He's just like, yeah, like, you know, if something's not working, let's stop it immediately and try something else, which doesn't seem to be a hallmark of, you know, the Lloyd Pierce system that, you know, had nice runs, but also had us, you know, losing 3 games in a row, like often. Yes. It was just like kept being on 3-game skids. I think it happened like 3 or 4 times. I was looking because when I got to Atlanta a couple months ago, we were in 11th. A couple weeks ago, we were in 11th place.
Like
you were saying, with just this run, they're now in like 5th place.
Right.
It's which is how it's going to go until the end of the season in the East. Like there's no telling how this team ends up. But it is nice to see them at least show some life and get spoken about again. Cause we were getting to that point in the season where like people forget that the Hawks are a team, even though like, you know, the Hawks went on a skid. That was such a weird skid. Like Trae Young just suddenly didn't become an all-star anymore. People are like, who is,
Well, he was also getting blamed, I think, you know, fairly or unfairly for like a lot of the worst tendencies in modern basketball. Whereas like this kid is emblematic of everything that's wrong with contemporary NBA ball, which like, you know, whether it's the mimicking of Steph's like deep shooting is one thing, but like the constant foul hunting and obviously like complaining a lot, which is something that Luka does too. So it's not like it's exclusive to Trae to bitch and moan about calls. But I wanted to ask you this. You said that your text thread was called 500 or better. And that, yes, that is kind of like, I am also a fan of mediocre basketball teams. I don't think there's any shame in being okay. Is that enough for you? Like, you came from the highs of the Bud era, which were actually weirdly, like, probably a little bit more, I would imagine, disorienting because you were so good in the regular season. And then LeBron would just wipe your face off your head.
Yep.
To go from that, and then there's some years in the wilderness, and now you're back. If McMillan gives you a Pacers-esque existence of like 500 or better, it maybe getting to deep into a first round series, if not even to a second round series in the playoffs, is that an acceptable Hawks existence for you?
I think that's not, because I think we've actually started to believe in puzzle pieces actually coming together,
right,
to become one of those like Sixers teams or one of those teams that, like, we don't have to fully tank. We could actually just, like, you know, go Braves on it and like have like a farm system that actually works with like this kind of ragtag collection of people. I don't think 500, I think 500 or better gets us back to those underwhelming years, mm-hmm, which is like, we're good, but who cares? And I've always thought like, we're good, but who cares doesn't work for Atlanta sports. Like, I think.
Cause nobody goes.
Yeah. Then. It's like, sometimes I would rather flashy and terrible, but like relevant than, you know, the perennial seven seed that gets beat by like the Nets for the next 4 years. Like, that, right, would be a really bummer existence. I'd rather just like not watch the Hawks for 5 years and focus on something else. So, you know, I think Atlanta's in this weird cycle of, like, the Falcons are just like not a team to think about right now. So now it's like, okay, now I really got to focus on the Hawks. And now people are caring about the Hawks because of Trey and all this other stuff. So to just be mediocre feels kind of a bummer.
Is he the biggest Atlanta athlete right now? He is, right?
Yeah. 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 Like, yeah, I think, I mean, you know, I love me some Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, I was wondering if
like Ronald Ron, was Ron, but just like, just the NBA is just, it's just bigger. And I think Trey has that little bit of like exciting Vic-ness to him where it's like, I don't know if this is going to result in wins
Anything
or losses, but people care.
Yeah.
And that's tight.
So,
but the team's also good.
We're approaching the trade deadline. I don't care about basketball value. I'm talking about value to REM. Whatever, like, let's just call it, like, the stat is REM. It's like PER. Who's untradeable to you based on REM?
Right now, number one, Tony Snell.
Yes. Now, how much of that has to do with the fact that we found out recently that Tony Snell has a BlackBerry?
Tony Snell
This is true, by the way, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Snell, BlackBerry, game winning shot, Tony Snell. My thing is like, what have you proven to me in the last 7 days? In the last 7 days, Tony Snell is a Hall of Famer, so he's untradeable. You know, like some of the other guys, I'm like, you know, like, I know you're better, but what have you done for me lately? I think in reality, I think I want to see a playoff healthy Capella.
Mm-hmm.
I just like, I want to see this like weird experiment that the Hawks are trying to pull off actually work, because there's like, there's a really amazing world in which having Rondo come off the bench in a tight playoff series is like the greatest thing in the world. Like, it could actually work.
Bogey and Rondo coming off the bench is like a pretty decent second unit if you get DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish back.
Yeah. Another person, I won't say, I'd say in my 7 days, what's happened in the last 7 days metric, the other Nate that we have, Nathan Knight.
Yeah.
You know about Nate? Yeah. There's something about watching him dunk. I think it was when we were playing Toronto. He dunked on someone in the MLK jersey, and it was like the funniest thing I've ever seen. I was like, oh, that's like a Rock and Jock 8-pointer. If you dunk on someone with two hands in an MLK jersey, I was like, okay, yeah, He's got to make it to at least the playoff squad. We can't lose him. He's got too much of the right energy for me.
What about John the Baptist? Because he's the guy because he's a restricted free agent, and I think that there's been some talk about other teams having interest in him, specifically the Wolves, which I thought was kind of weird. But he's the guy who I think has been most vocal when it comes to the Trey stuff and just being like, This is not necessarily Trey's team. Like, I might be better than him. He didn't say that, but like, you can kind of get the vibe from John Collins where he's like, this is my team. Like, maybe he doesn't have like a Twitter account or a cable subscription, and he's like under the impression that he is the Hawks franchise player.
Yeah. He's like, it's like North Korea. He's only getting John Collins clips. He has no idea that anyone else can show it on SportsCenter. Yeah. You know, I'm hoping that with Big Nate at the helm, this maybe deals with some of the Collins issues, because I'd hate for there's something about drama ruining a not great team that's not allowed. Like I need the big personalities to stay on like the big teams. Like, for us, it's like we don't have time for big personalities. We just like need to try to score more points than the other team every game. Like, we just need to focus on the nuts and the bolts of winning consecutive basketball games. And so I've just been hoping all year that I think Collins has too much of an upside to lose, but I don't want to, I hate just chalking people off as like locker room cancers, like those type of people. Like, I don't want to go there with them. I just want them to just work it out.
Yeah. That's the only thing, my concern with Collins would be the price you pay to keep him is actually just like way more than you would want, and that he would wind up tying up too much money for your team when you could play around with that cash otherwise. But I think he stays. I just like watching him and Trey play together. It's so interesting to know that they might not like each other, because like those alley-oops are just like one of the best things in the NBA right now.
Yeah, it's really good. There's like big AAU energy on the Hawks right now, and Trey and Collins feel like the two dudes from like opposite sides of Atlanta that got put on the same AAU team, and they're like the best kid from the east side and the best kid from the west side, but they're not used to not being the dude. It's like very AAU energy. And so I would just like, I'm just hoping Nate, like one, just like, cause he's still interim.
I'm pretty sure. That'll change.
Yeah. I just hope that, with this mid-season coaching change and this streak, which, you know, it's probably the longest winning streak most of the Hawks have ever experienced. I'm just like hoping this excites
this
people.
Continues.
Like, hey, let's like each other.
You just
gotta
get back from the West Coast in one piece. I think that's the main thing. Rem, thank you so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate you giving me your time.
Of course, man. For you, anything.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident. It was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Don't miss the premiere of your new wireless savings with Visible. It's time to switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's no hidden fees. No, really. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerNBA. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerNBA right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, now I'm joined by Kevin O'Connor. Kevin, first of all, congratulations on another year, another draft guide.
Thank you, Chris. It's fun doing it.
We have
Mike and Lindsay, they do amazing stuff with that.
Yeah, everybody works so hard on this thing, and it's one of the things we're most proud of at the company, honestly. So it's really cool to see it come to fruition. You've got to check out all the work that went into it. And Kevin does such a good job tracking this year's draft class as they as we sort of round the corner into draft season. But Kev, the reason why I wanted to talk to you today is I remember very distinctly, especially right when Travis Schlenk got hired to be the GM of Golden State. I think that is right around when you and I started working together at The Ringer, or shortly thereafter. And he was one of the guys, and the Hawks were one of the teams that I feel like you've consistently pitched as a team of interest for you. That you were like, I want to go check these guys out. I think something interesting is happening down here. We get into this season. Obviously, I just talked about this a little bit with Rembert about fan expectations and his relationship to the Hawks, but we get into this season, and after some injuries and some locker room stuff, Lloyd Pierce loses his job, Nate McMillan comes in and takes a team that seemed like it was basically falling apart and makes them almost immediately competent, rattling off 7 games in a row. So my question to you, Kevin, is, are all bad teams just a Nate McMillan away from being good?
I mean, if only every team could have a Nate McMillan, huh, Chris? The NBA would be a better league. With Atlanta, I think certain teams are a coach away, but there's not many of them, though. Like with Atlanta, their issues, like that athletic story about the problems that players had with Lloyd Pierce seemed very much to do with definition of roles and just the relationship, like person to person. Like Cam Reddish had that quote in this, well, not a quote, but like the behind the scenes quote, anonymous quote about him not feeling like he was valued, felt like he was getting picked on. McMillan seems to have a better relationship with these guys. And as a coach, like I don't see many changes from a system point of view with what Atlanta's doing.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, but like there's definitely differences with when he calls a timeout and his rotations, and that stuff matters, right? Like a lot.
There was a part in that athletic story that you're referencing where they mentioned a game that Lloyd Pierce was absent from while he was still the coach and McMillan coached for him. And that it was strikingly obvious that like just minor rotational things and just timeout calls and it just that game management stuff that I don't think that we really, as a fan, like I don't really notice that much. I sometimes do pick up on rotation stuff, but when to have a timeout and stuff like that, especially for a young team that are susceptible to giving up chunks of points on defense, you got to know how to manage that, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, there was a couple instances in a game earlier this week where the other team made a run and McMillan calls a timeout after 5 points, not waiting for it to get the 10-0 run, 11-0 run, 12-0 run. He tries to end it early. And, I think all these little things are adding up to help. And you're also just seeing, you're seeing guys get minutes that weren't getting minutes before. Like Nathan Knight, I know it's silly to say he's just a role player, but Nathan Knight looked pretty good in preseason, had a really good game early in the year, and then he never played at all. And now he's getting consistent minutes and having great nights, shooting threes, attacking closeouts, having big dunks. He has a poster every night, it seems. And I think sometimes, coaches can, they fail to self-scout their roster. And McMillan has suddenly shifted that in terms of rotations and who's getting minutes. And that's all helping. But part of it, though, obviously Lloyd Pierce had his issues as a coach, but these guys have also gotten healthy. Like, does part of you feel like he just didn't ever had a chance to succeed? Like there's so many guys out early in the year. I feel bad. I still bad for Pierce.
No, I mean, go look at their schedule. You want to see the Hawks season in a nutshell, go look at Bogey Bogdanovich's game log. Because there's something like 4-4 or 4-5 when he goes down. He misses February. They go into the tank. He comes back and they win 7 in a row. I mean, he's not necessarily the only reason that happened. Obviously, that coincided with Nate. It coincided with them getting a little healthier, although they also lose Reddish in that time. They've lost Reddish and Hunter.
And he'll be back soon, hopefully.
Yeah, but I think that there's definitely something to be said for the fact that Pierce never really got to play with his full roster at all and was blamed a lot for things that were out of his control, like injuries. I guess I was going to ask you, did you, when you watch Bogdanović play for them, I was watching them last night against the Thunder, and I thought I've kind of, one thing that I think they've had a lot of issues with is what to do when Trae Young's off the court. Like, his on-off numbers are pretty striking. But I saw them playing Bogey in a little bit of like a kind of shadow Trae role last night when he was playing with the second unit.
And that was part of the plan. You know, when they got him, is to have him be that guy who can, when he shares the floor with Trae, push him off ball a little bit, but, you know, still primarily be the guy coming off screens and handoffs and cutting to the rim. That's what Bogdanović is so good at. But what's long been underrated with him is his ability on the ball and his ability to create. And having that guy, I mean, they signed Rondo too, who has not been quite the same as he was in the playoffs last year.
Nor is Gallo. Lakers. Yeah, right.
Yeah, Gallo, of course, was out too and wasn't the same. Until recently, Gallo hasn't produced like the Gallinari that we know. But Bogdanović is that guy who there's more you can get out of him as a playmaker. And even now, like even like last night's game gave a preview, but I still get excited about what Bogdanović and Trae Young could potentially be if Trae can be maximized off the ball.
That was what I was gonna ask you this. Like, do you see a little Harden Kyrie there? Like, not obviously anywhere near as good as those guys, but using Trae in that sort of Kyrie off ball way, the way the Nets are currently using it, and giving Bogdanović a little bit more playmaking responsibility.
I'd love to see it. I still say with Trae Young, he's brilliant on the ball. Like, that goes without saying. I mean, averaging nearly 30 points is such a young player, you know, the last couple of years, and the ability to create for others is elite. But to take that next step, I think offenses nowadays, the best offenses can beat you in different ways and have different guys who can either, you know, it's simple to say, but shoot, pass, and dribble, you know, just the basics of offense. And if you have a number of those guys who can do that, Trae Young is going to have to make himself a threat off the ball. He's already a threat to shoot from 34 feet. If he can also become a guy who can run off a screen and come off a handoff and drain a three, I would love to see Trae bring the Steph qualities into his game more so than be like the Harden or be the Dame. He can do that too, and that's no knock against those guys. But for Atlanta, when you have a 6'1", 180-pound point guard, I'd love to see some more variety with how they use them. And a guy like Bogdanović, that's sort of what you need. That's sort of what you want next to Trae. So for them, I think that's on Trae to adapt and embrace that, but also for McMillan to push him that in that direction. And maybe when you're winning more games, it's easier to have a guy like Trae Young, as good as he is, to accept that responsibility and embrace that responsibility more so than if you're losing and you feel like you get to do it all yourself as a young player. So hopefully, like, for Atlanta, that's the next step. I think it has to be for them to thrive someday in the future in the postseason.
I actually quite enjoyed last night's game with the Thunder. And I was like, oh, why am I having more fun watching the Hawks tonight than usual? And then I looked and I saw that Trae only took 4 free throws. And I was kind of wondering whether or not you felt like Nate was maybe stripping a little bit of Trae's foul hunting out of him.
I hope not. I mean, like, if you're a Hawks fan, even if it's annoying to watch, it's like, as a fan, and there's certain calls where it's like the NBA should never call that. The rules are what they are. And if you're a Hawks fan, you should be trying to get him to the free throw line as much as you can.
Wasn't there like a little tidbit about like on a coach's call, like Lloyd Pierce, like,
oh yeah, yeah.
That really
Lloyd
like
Pierce doesn't
Lloyd
like
Pierce
it.
Was yeah. like, I hate when guys are looking for fouls, and it was like a repudiation of his own franchise yeah. player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was that in the story. Yeah, I mean, I think the rules are what they are. That's on the NBA to change how games are officiated. Players should do everything they can to get to the free throw line as is. I think, personally.
Are you happy that the Hawks kind of stuck to their guns here? I mean, they obviously decided that there should be a coaching change, but we've seen a couple of teams not throw up a white flag, but, like, you know, because they have pick protections that they're concerned about, like, say, Houston, or they've been ravaged by injuries, or, you know, like Cleveland and the way that they've kind of handled their veterans on their team. I'm kind of impressed that the Hawks just like, we're like, you know what? We're making the playoffs by hook or by crook. Coach, whichever coach has to be here, if we have to trade John Collins or not, like, whatever the case is, like, we're making a push for the postseason this year in a kind of soft underbelly of the Eastern Conference. We can do that. I wish more teams had like their fight, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think with Atlanta, I still look at them and I think about their future more than anything else. It's
so
just
what,
hard
how
for
bright
me.
Is the yeah. future?
It depends so much on Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter. what those guys become. And the leap we've seen Hunter take this season, I mean, even when Atlanta was bad like a week ago, you could look at that team and see DeAndre Hunter's development as a real bright spot, even though he was out. And with Cam Reddish, the struggles, you know, are worrisome. It's hard not to watch Cam Reddish and think, is this guy ever going to figure it out offensively? He showed some flashes towards the end of last season, but fell apart again the beginning of this season, just like he did the beginning of his rookie year. But Cam Reddish, the guy Schlenk has brought in makes sense around Trae Young. DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, guys who can defend multiple positions, you know, play a low maintenance role for you on offense, but also have the upside to be guys that handle the ball a lot more than a 3-and-D style role player. Cam Reddish has that potential. He has the ability to be a playmaker. It's about really improving his handling, improving his shooting off the dribble. And with Hunter, he's already done that in year three. So with these guys, they do have a bright future. I still look at Trae Young, though, Chris, and I'm like, he's in for a rude awakening someday in the postseason. And someday might be a couple months from now.
Yeah, that's in the postseason is where you really find the opposing offense hunting for matchups.
Yes.
And that is a lot of exposure for a guy if he's not ready for it. Because if teams, like if a Brooklyn or whoever, decide to play Whack-A-Trey as their offense, and they just, you know, run PNRs until they get who they want on him, he's going to be giving up like 42 points a night on national television, and it's going to be rough. So we'll see what happens with that. I was curious about that Reddish and Hunter thing, because I remember when those picks happened, it feeling like Schlenk was almost drafting for role players and fit rather than absolute maximum upside. Obviously, some mixed results. Hunter's incredible when healthy. Reddish, we just talked about, has some work to do. But as you just could, you know, as you're working on the draft guide now and you think a lot about how teams go about putting together their drafting philosophies, I was curious what you thought of the way Schlenk has made picks over the last year.
I think the logic makes a lot of sense, because with those guys, Cam Reddish, for example, it's so easy to see Cam Reddish fitting into a 3-and-D role where all he does, his simple offensive responsibilities are catch and shoot, attack closeouts, make the right pass if it's open, and play your best on defense. Reddish is already a very good defensive player. I mean, he has that side of the floor covered. So with Atlanta, you have a baseline. Everything I just said about Reddish applies to Hunter, even though he's a little bit older now. He still has upside, and we've seen that upside this year with Hunter improving on the ball, creating his own shot. So for Schlenk, I would assume his logic was, let's get guys who can fit in at the least as role players next to Trae and give him the defensive support that he will need. Like Trae Young, like you just said, he's going to give up possibly in certain games 40 points because teams are just going to attack him relentlessly. Atlanta's going to be scrambling in ways that we saw the Celtics do years ago with Isaiah Thomas. Remember the Celtics during his MVP, you know, when he came in fifth for MVP, they had to have these weird, unique switches where he was kind of like zoning off ball and they were avoiding everything they could to get him out of those screens. That's what Atlanta will have to do with Trae. But when you have all that defensive support around him, you can do that. So what Schlenk did makes sense. Like their roster on paper makes sense with all their young guys, even the guys that they signed with Bogdanovich for the reasons we talked about earlier. So I like what Atlanta's done. I mean, given the circumstances and given like how the challenges are building around Trae, but it still comes down to Trae to me more than anything else and how he evolves.
We have a week until the trade deadline. If you're Schlenk, do you do anything? Do you make any moves? I mean, is Collins worth thinking about?
I think it's worth thinking about. I'm not sure we'll see a move actually happen here, because I really like John Collins for all the same reasons with fit around Trae. He's a rim runner. He can shoot threes for you. He's still only 23. I still think his defense can improve over the course of time. He can play with Capella or without Capella. That versatility playing in two big lineups or as the lone big matters a lot. So the defense needs to get better, and there's maybe better fits than having him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a bad fit by any means. So what's the offer out there that makes it worth it? Where's the multiple first round draft picks for this young player that's averaged, you know, nearly 20 points in the last 3 years? Where's that offer that's you can't say no to? I don't think it's out there. And Neither do many of the executives that I talked to this past week or so about what Atlanta might do.
Because there were rumors with Collins that like the Wolves were interested in him, right? Like, yes. That was like a real, like they had almost
Dallas
like,
likes him too.
Dallas
like,
likes him too.
Number of teams that like John Collins.
I'm curious whether or not like a move for Atlanta signals a certain amount of confidence in where that roster is right now versus like, you know, if they stand pat, are we to take it that Schlenk is like, it's probably not a playoff win for us this year. Like making the playoffs alone would be enough.
I'm not sure those moves are even out there. I know it's silly to say, but like are the guys out there right now on the trade market that I'm sure, can really like, swing things?
You do mismatch twice a week, you go on pods and stuff, and this is all we want to talk about, but I am not seeing the title swing. I'm not seeing the Pau Gasol Rasheed Wallace deal out there right now.
It's not. And I mean, like even like Kyle Lowry, like, as a Sixers fan, Chris, like you've heard the name Kyle Lowry, but then there's all this stuff of, well, no, he's actually not getting traded. You know, like Harrison Barnes has been out there as a name for like, you know, thinking about these teams in the middle and the East, the Celtics going for Harrison Barnes. Well, Sacramento might not want to trade Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
The Bulls might not even trade Thaddeus Young. So like you have all these teams that could theoretically, you know, unload some veteran players that could help teams that want to contend, and yet it's not happening. And I think that speaks to the addition of the play-in tournament this year, with those 9 and 10 seeds getting opportunities to, you know, face the 7 and 8 seeds, get in, you know, the postseason, sneak in, maybe make a run, or at least get some playoff exposure, playoff experience. So more teams feel like they're in it. Atlanta felt like they were in it, and now they're suddenly pushing for the 4 seed.
Yeah.
Like they're the evidence that you are in it with just a couple weeks of good basketball. So I would imagine, unless things dramatically change over the next week, it could be not a quiet deadline. You'll see guys moved, but not a deadline with a lot of headlines.
Yeah, it's just too many people out there looking for Jay Crowder, and there's only one Jay Crowder. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of desire for a defensive wing that can shoot a little bit, and I just don't know if there are enough resources. Kev, thank you so much for joining me today, man. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.